We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that you've had a good week and that you have a great weekend planned ahead of you. I hope you've already put God on the calendar, that you're going to make him a priority this weekend. And, we got baseball going on and football going on and all of that sort of stuff. So there's all sorts of distractions. I think I've heard volleyball is going. So there's all sorts of sports, but make sure that you keep God a priority and that you give him your best. That's what he asks of us. He gave us his best in Jesus Christ, and we want to give him our best. So if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can type that in your GPS. If you type it in there, type N period Grove Street. You would be amazed at the number of different combinations that are available on Merritt Island that involve the word Grove or North Grove. There's a Grove Street, a Grove Boulevard, I think a Grove Avenue, and then there is a street called North Grove. And I'm not sure what that one is, what the suffix is on that, but there's a lot of different stuff in there. We're basically two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We have seats available and love to worship. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would love to have you come and be a part of us, of our worship experience. So this coming Sunday, I will be preaching. I'm going to be preaching a message that's been on my heart for some time. And then I'm also going to be preaching on Sunday night, 6:30 at the church, 165 North Grove Street. We hope to see you there. I want to also say thank you. A couple of sponsors. I forgot my sheet of paper, a couple of broadcasts there, and would like to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. And if you have any AC needs in the central Brevard County, you can give Bill a call. Or if you're in other parts of the county or in the central part of the county, we also have Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. They deal with all three of those different aspects. So if you've got needs in any one of those, maybe storms have knocked out your power or whatever, give them a call and they can get you fixed up. Their phone number is 632-9538, 632-9538. So we just want to make sure that you are taken good care of. We also want to say thank you to those who listen, who've partnered with us and help support us financially in bringing this radio broadcast to you. We have been in Genesis chapter 48. We're going to finish up with that with that chapter today and possibly begin into the chapter 49 passage that we will that I wanted to highlight for you. So let me drop back to verse number 17 of chapter 48, and it says, "Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, 'Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.' But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations.' So he blessed them that day, saying, 'By you Israel will bless, saying, May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh.' And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, 'Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. So we talked yesterday about how important it is for us to pass on a blessing to our kids, to our grandkids. We want them to grow up not just in a positive environment, but a godly environment. We don't want them just to be healthy. We want them to be blessed. So Joseph tried to undo what Jacob was doing. And, you know, when I see that, I wonder how many times we have argued with God. I want you to know that I'm not talking from theory here. I'm talking from practical experience. And I can tell you this, that it doesn't happen often anymore, but there were times when God would speak something to me and I was like, God, you just don't understand. That's not the way it works. And I want you to know that God orchestrated events to where they lined up with exactly what he said. So I have quit arguing with God. He's right. And by the way, if you ever do try and correct him, you will find out that he was never wrong and therefore not in need of correction. And you certainly do not have the jurisdiction to speak correction into his life. By the way, what Joseph did was highly against protocol in Middle Eastern culture. Children do not correct parents. And so I want to talk to you. I mean, this is just something that came up in my spirit here. I believe it's from the Spirit of God. And that is, I want you to examine your life and see how much of the things that really frustrate you and get under your skin, how many of those areas do you really have jurisdiction over? You see, there are certain policemen, there are certain sheriff's deputies, there are certain judges, and all of them have a jurisdiction. And you, if you go outside of that jurisdiction, you either have to have permission to be in there, or you are operating outside of your particular office. For instance, at my church, I'm the pastor. I have the keys. I'm an ex officio member of every committee. I can go to the ladies' meetings if I want. I can go to the kids' events and the youth events. I can go to the senior events. I can go to the vintage service. Because of my position as pastor, I have jurisdiction over everything that takes place at Merit Assembly of God. But if I were to go to the church right down the street, if I was to visit Pastor Titus over at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, God bless you, Pastor Titus, and all of the saints there. And they have a ministry where they're constantly praying for the pastors of other churches. And I bless them in the name of Jesus. I am thankful that we are not competitors. We are cooperators. We are cooperating with the Lord of the harvest to enlarge the kingdom of heaven. But if I go to his church and pull out my keys do not work in their doors. If I say I'm the pastor, that means nothing there because I'm not the pastor at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. I'm the pastor at Merritt Assembly of God. I have jurisdiction at Merritt Assembly of God, but not other churches. And so a lot of times, things will come up and I ask myself, okay, is this something I have jurisdiction over or do I not have jurisdiction over? If I do not have jurisdiction over it, then I'm going to go ahead and pray and say, okay, God, this has come to my attention. What do I do with this? Who do I share this information with? Or do I just make this a matter of prayer and let the people who have jurisdiction remedy that situation? So I just wanted to share with you, Joseph was actually operating against protocol at this point in time, and God, or Jacob, did not change his mind. He said, I know exactly what I'm doing, Sonny. We've got this all taken care of. We have an evangelist that comes with us, and he shared this testimony. His father passed away here in the last year or so, And he said that there came a time when their parents' income, or his parents' income, dropped pretty substantially, but they absolutely loved missions. And so they were giving, and you know, their pretty much standard philosophy was, let's double what we did last year. And so this minister friend of mine, he said, he called his dad up and he said, "Dad, I think maybe you need to cut back on your missions giving. You don't have the income stream you used to." And his dad said this: "Listen, Sonny," he said, "if God and I have had this partnership going on for several decades, and if I need you to step in for this situation to try and undo our partnership, then I will ask you for it." And he hung up the phone. You know what he was basically saying? Is, listen, you don't have jurisdiction to come in between my covenant with God, and God owns everything I've got. And so if I want to partner with him, he's been blessing me as a result of that. And so you lack jurisdiction. You lack jurisdiction. By the way, on our principle of what does submission and rebellion look like, there are four stages of order. There is God at the very top. There are those in authority over you. There's you. And then there are those who are under your authority. God is never going to be out of alignment. He stays preeminent. He stays on the throne. He's never going to move as a result of that. And then if those in authority over us move away from God's plan and God's law, then what they oftentimes expect is that everybody underneath them is going to make that shift as well in order not to be in rebellion. Well, I want you to know that if the whole world shifts and God stays where he is, if the whole world rejects his standard, then the whole world is in rebellion. The scripture says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And so if those in authority over me move out from under God's alignment, I need to stay right under God's alignment. It doesn't matter what the president, it doesn't matter what Congress does, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court does, it is better to obey God than to obey men. And so, again, I tell you, let's look at jurisdiction, and let's make sure. Now, if you are where you're supposed to be in alignment with God's word, and those under you shift away, then they are in rebellion. There are only certain things that I can control. I can control my positioning before God. I cannot control other people. I can act within the authority of my jurisdiction. If those in authority move in rebellion against God, God is not going to accept the defense. I was just following their orders. He's not going to do that. And so it did not work in the Nuremberg trials, and it will not work before God. So I just want to encourage you, make sure that you operate in proper jurisdiction. Let's move on to Jacob's blessing. It says in verse number 20, "So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh." Now, this is what Jacob said: "I am praying a blessing on you that is going to set a new standard of blessing throughout the entire nation." That's exciting. You see, a lot of times we think that there's a limit on God's blessing. But Jacob, at 147 years old, recognized that an unlimited God has an unlimited capacity to bless his people. And so he prayed that Ephraim would be made a multitude, and that Manasseh, he said, you know, "Truly his younger brother shall be greater than he and his descendants." About Manasseh, he says, "I know my son, he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater." You know what? If God says you are going to be great, you're going to be great. And if he says someone else is going to be greater, then that's fine. You know what? their blessing does not deprive me of the privilege of being blessed by God. So that's why when the scripture says that someone receives a blessing, we can rejoice with those who rejoice. If someone's going through a difficult time, we can mourn with those who mourn. We recognize that God is not on a ration system. His ability to bless is unlimited. You know, there are some people that say, well, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Well, you know what? The turnip is not my source. The turnip is not my source. God is our source. God is our source. And so any time that we try and get our eyes upon man or upon man's strength or upon man's provisions and get our eyes off of God, we are going to end up depriving ourselves of blessing. But what Jacob said is, the blessing that I am praying for you, I'm praying for Ephraim, and I'm praying for Manasseh, the rest of the nation of Israel is going to say, may God bless you. It's going to be the new standard of blessing in the nation of Israel. Now, Ephraim means fruitfulness or double fruit. And so today, I want to pronounce a blessing over those here in Brevard County. May God bless you and make you more fruitful than you have ever been before in your life. May he make you more than fruitful. May he make you doubly fruitful. Can he do that? Absolutely. Do you realize that right now we are farming, I believe, if I remember correctly, we are farming less land than we have ever farmed before and producing more food than we've ever produced before. How is that possible? Because the yields are greater than they've ever been before. You see, there are certain things that hinder the amount of fruitfulness. One of those things, we talked about this, I believe, earlier this week, where Joseph bought the land, the money, the tools that the people use to be fruitful. Listen, if you are going to have to go out and hand till a land, and then you are going to have to hand sow the land, and you are going to have to hand weed and do everything by hand, the amount of harvest you are going to produce is going to be greatly restricted. So man has come along and invented machinery that help in the tilling process, that help in the planting process, that help in the weeding process, that help in the caring for the plants process, help in the hydration of the plants process, help in the harvesting process, help in the transportation of those. And so there have been major improvements along the way, and so we are able to be more fruitful than ever before. May God bless the nation of Israel as he has blessed Ephraim. May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. Remember, the fruitfulness was going to be greater, but Manasseh, remember, Manasseh means God has made me to forget. God has made me to forget. Now, I want to thank God that he gives us a sound mind. And I'm claiming that promise. I pray that promise for people who are battling dementia. I just did a memorial service this last weekend, and that lady had a very sound mind up until about a week or so before she passed away. And then she wasn't doing a lot of communicating after that, but he blessed her with a sound mind. So whenever I excuse me, encounter somebody who is battling a mind illness, I speak that word over them, because God wants to bless people by making them forget bitterness, making them forget wounds, whether self-inflicted or inflicted by others. May God help you to remember the things that he wants you to remember, but may he help you to forget those things that you should forget. There are some things that you need to, like Paul said, forget those things which are behind so that you can press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. You see, there's some things you got to forget about it. And all the people from New Jersey that have ever said, forget about it. They just all forget it. May God bless you with the ability to forget the hurtful words and the wounds that others have inflicted. I had a phone call one time and the phone call eventually came to an end and I put my phone away and the phone rang again, almost immediately. And it was the same person who had just called me. And what they didn't know was that they had accidentally called me. They didn't know that their phone was active. And so I put the phone up to the ear and I could hear the words that they were saying about me. And at that point in time, they weren't words of edification. And I listened for a little bit and then the Holy Spirit brought a verse back to me and it said, do not pay attention to every word that, you know, a little bird may whisper in your ear because you too know that you have said things about others that you would not want them to hear. And so without them, even being aware that they had called me, I hung up the phone and I put it away. And I want you to know, I love those people. I love those people. I could still tell you the things that they said, but I forgot about the pain and extended forgiveness. And I pray that God will do that for you. And so Jacob said, he blessed them that day, by you Israel will bless. I pray today that you will be the new standard of blessing in your family, in your home. My wife was telling me here a week or so ago about a lady in our church. She's not been in our church for very long. She doesn't have a tremendous support system encouraging her. But when she and I talked, she said, Pastor, I am all in. I am all in for Jesus because when I was in sin, I was all in. And I said, God, she said, he was leading me to this church. And she said, if this is the church for me, I want to be able to be all in. And God has been blessing her and providing her favor. And my wife said that some of her family is saying, wow, you certainly have made a lot of friends in a short period of time. And you know what? She's the new standard of blessing in that family. It doesn't look like some other people might think that's blessing, but she's the new standard of blessing. You may be the new standard of blessing at your job site. You may be the new standard of blessing amongst your unsaved family. May God bless you with fruitfulness, and may he bless you with forgetfulness. Verse number 21. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. There was a time of transition that was coming, and Jacob began to prepare Joseph for it. He said, you know, for 17 years, I've got to see you. It was beyond my wildest expectations. I didn't think I would ever get to see you. And now as a result, I've got to see and I got to bless your kids and make them my own. I've shared my testimony with them. I have blessed them and established them as a new standard of blessing throughout the nation. But Joseph, I'm getting ready to go the way of all the earth. I'm getting ready to die. I am dying. Death literally means separation. It is separation of breath from our lungs, life from our bodies, but it is not separation from eternity. You see, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places as we wrap up here on this Friday. You're either going to spend eternity with Jesus or you're going to spend eternity without Jesus. Everybody, and I remember in Bible school, we read through a chapter in Genesis, and somebody or the professor said, what is the one common denominator in this particular passage in Genesis? And the common denominator was this: every one of them died. It was a list of genealogies, and they all died. Everybody is going to die. But Jacob was saying to Joseph, I'm getting ready to die, but listen to this, but God will be with you. Today, if you're going through a transition and there has been a presence in your life that has always been there and it's getting ready to transition, maybe, you know, your kids recently went off to school. It doesn't have to be an actual physical death. It may just be a separation for a while. Maybe someone is being temporarily assigned in the military or temporarily assigned to a out-of-state job or whatever. I want you to know that Jacob said there's getting ready to be a transition in the dynamic of our relationship. I'm not going to be here for you, but God will be. Today, I assure you that God is with you. He's not just an absent or a silent partner. He is present with you. And it says, listen to this, God is going to bring you back to the land of your fathers. He's going to bring you back to the land of your fathers. I'll touch on it more later. I will tell you this, it happened, but not in the way that we think. Joseph went back. Joseph's body went back to the land of his fathers, but he wasn't alive. But we'll talk about that more a little bit later. Today, you may be facing a tremendous challenge at work. This weekend, you may have tremendous challenges that you are going to face. I want you to know that God is going to be with you. He will walk you through that process. He's going to bring you back to that place that you should be in. Okay? Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for this week of broadcast. I pray, God, that you would bless the people who are listening today. May you make them the new standard of blessing. May they be healed in their body. May they be walking in the spirit of holiness and power. May you make them the new standard of fruitfulness, God. I pray that they would be known as the wise, because he who wins souls is wise. I pray, God, that you would make us soul winners for Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Jesus Christ. May there be a new standard of blessing. And God, even if there's a transition that goes on, thank you that you go with us and you're going to bring us to our appropriate end of journey. In Jesus' name, have a great weekend. See you Sunday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.